Welcome back to the Conversation Studios here in Honolulu. It has been 3 months since the Supreme Court struck a blow against labor unions. In a ruling known as the Janus case, the court banned unions from collecting dues from workers who choose not to join a union. Hawaii has the second highest rate of labor union members in the country, with many working in state or county government. One issue that's emerged here and on the mainland is around the timing of when someone wants to leave a union. The first legal challenge to that just surfaced. A school bus driver in Pennsylvania filed a lawsuit against that state late last week over a law restricting the time period when public employees can resign their union membership. Hawaii has a similar law. And in another state, Minnesota, the time period has opened when teachers and school staff can leave their unions. Jacob Hubert was the lead attorney for Mark Janus, the plaintiff in that case that upended decades of labor law precedent. He was in Hawaii for a forum sponsored by the Grassroots Institute of Hawaii a week ago today. He spoke about the legality of restricting workers from withdrawing from a union.
Unfortunately, the unions aren't stopping simply at recruitment efforts, but also are doing other things to try to impose barriers to people who want to exercise their rights and not give money to a union anymore. We see them pursuing laws to try to make it harder for people to not give money to a union anymore. One thing we see in various places, including here in this state, is they seek laws that create a narrow window of time every year where a worker can end their payment of dues. They're already telling people who want to quit after Janus, well, you can quit, but you said we could take dues out of your paycheck until next January or whatever the opt-out period is, and so we're going to keep taking them out till then. If they chose to be union members before the Janus decision, they didn't really freely consent to be union members because their choice was be a union member and pay full union dues, or don't be a member and typically pay an agency fee that's a little bit less than full union dues, and then also face, you know, being hassled for not being a union member. And that's not the choice they're supposed to have under the Janus decision. They should have the choice between be a union member and pay dues, or don't be a union member and pay nothing. So I think you definitely will see litigation, if necessary, to get people out now who want to be out now because of the Janus decision.
Tony Gill is a longtime labor attorney in Honolulu who spoke at the same event. Gill said there are three questions to ask when evaluating the local impact of the Janus case.
First question is, Hawaii compliant with Janus? My short answer is yes, I think Hawaii is compliant with Janus as I understand the rules. The state proactively, within hours, if not minutes, after the decision was announced, in consultation with many unions and people such as myself, began adapting its payroll policies to the decision. There was no hesitation at all. This had been thought out reasonably well, better in some quarters than others, but the train started rolling immediately. As of now, 14 out of 14 bargaining units in the state of Hawaii are not deducting any involuntary agency fees from non-members. I think we can say that to a reasonable certainty. If there's something out there that I'm not aware of, I confess I'm not omniscient, but I think that the DAGS policy, the state policy, and all union policies are in accord. And there should not at this point be any non-member who is being subjected to an involuntary agency fee. Now, second point, has Janus resulted in major defunding? In some, not yet. What kind of early to say? Hawaii unions traditionally have very high voluntary membership. So phrased another way, they have very low non-membership. It's been very clear that any member of a bargaining unit, any unionizable public employee has a right to be a member of the union or not be a member of the union. That's always obtained, and there's never been any legal pressure to join. So over time, those who have wanted to sort themselves into either category have done so. And as a result, defunding by simply deducting non-members, agency fee payers, won't have a very big effect per se. Third thing, has Janus diminished public sector unions' ability to or willingness to electioneer? Same answer, not yet. I'm not seeing it. I think that on average, the Janus case is slightly more motivating to unionists, pro-unionists, as an organizing rallying cry than it is to the people who want out, because those who wanted out were already largely out. But this is my summary of the impact. Early days, hard to see long term, and I think that Hawaii would be considered among the most compliant states out there. Now, we can quibble about what that consists of, but I think it's fair to say that they took it on early, proactively, and at this point, largely successfully.
That was Labor Attorney Tony Gill. We reached out to Hawaii's public employee unions for comment. Many are reluctant to disclose how many of their members have pulled out. The Hawaii Government Employees Association and the Hawaii State Teachers Association say the numbers are very small, but they refuse to make those numbers available. We did not hear back from the unions representing the police officers, firefighters, and UH faculty, as well as blue-collar workers with the United Public Workers Union as of news time. State lawmakers passed a bill limiting the withdrawals to the anniversary date of hire. It remains to be seen if that will be challenged locally, as Hubert believes the Hawaii law is constitutionally vulnerable. This is The Conversation on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. Now we take a look at the night sky with HPR's Dave Lawrence.
Stargazer time, our weekly look into the massive universe around our tiny planet and also what we can try and spot in our dark island skies. As usual, we're grateful to have the expertise of Christopher Phillips, and we've got him on the line. Hey, Christopher, welcome back. What do you have this week?
Hey, Dave. It's good to be back. So this week, stargazers look out for Mars in the south after sunset. Also, Jupiter and Saturn can be seen low in the western sky. The moon this week is waning, and by week's end, it will become a graceful crescent.
And we've got an update on a recent story that we had on Stargazer relating to a NASA mission to Mars.
Indeed. A few weeks ago, we covered the aftermath of a fierce Martian dust storm that had blanketed the entire planet. This storm lasted several months and brought with it hurricane-force winds that whipped up particles of Martian dust that sandblasted the surface. This storm also caused the rover Curiosity to go into an extended period of hibernation. Well, it's now been a couple of months since the storm ended, and Curiosity is finally awake.
And do they know what kind of shape it's in?
Well, the Intrepid rover is broadcasting real-time data to the orbiting relay satellites around Mars, but its science instruments remain offline, as does its propulsion system. What has surprised many, though, is that it appears to be in great health, aside from an issue with transmitting its science data.
So the thing's covered with dust, huh?
It is, yes.
And there's no way to just get one of the other rovers that we have up there to cruise up to it and sort of sandblast it with something to kind of clean it off?
Give it a friendly nudge.
Right.
Unfortunately, the rovers on Mars are spread out over a huge area, so there's no chance they could ever meet up with each other.
All right. I thought it was wishful thinking, but had to throw it out there. And so what about the other rover we heard about?
Well, the other rover, Opportunity, remains silent. It's been 3 months since the storm ended, and it should be receiving enough power from the sun to begin charging its solar system. It hasn't phoned home yet, but it could be because its batteries are still charging.
If these rovers aren't even that close to each other, the storm just covered, what, the whole planet, huh?
It really did. In fact, we haven't seen a storm this fierce in decades on Mars.
And to give a little perspective to that, how big is Mars compared to the Earth?
So Mars is about half the size of the Earth.
Still a huge storm, though. You imagine a storm covering all of Earth. That's a concept that I don't think too many people can imagine.
Right. Well, luckily here on Earth, we have lots of different climate zones to break up anything like that. But on Mars, the entire planet is essentially a desert, so that's a lot of dust.
Good luck to anybody trying to colonize it.
Indeed.
It's Christopher Phillips, another enlightening Stargazer report. Thank you so much.
You are welcome, Dave.
And I'm Dave Lawrence. Catch you next week.
Support for Stargazer comes from Ferraro Choi, celebrating its 30th anniversary. Architects for the Natural Energy Laboratory of Hawaii Authority's Hawaii Gateway Energy Center on Hawaii Island. FerraroChoi.com.